audio drama production podcast.
Yeah, so I guess to start, I want to move us towards a more informal format.
Okay.
It always feels forced.
I agree.
When we're like trying to fit like this scripted format and we're like, I don't know, it's just very wooden and robotic, and I'd rather have us in a place where we're having a conversation, where we're talking about audio drama, where we're talking about sound, where we're talking about how we go about making things, and talking with others, you know, bringing on, you know, Faith McQuinn, bringing on Steve, bringing on Dane, bringing on, you know, KC, to talk about, you know, their workflows more than, I don't know, it just seems like we've gotten into a lot of area where we're talking around the subject of how to make audio drama.
I agree with that.
We're talking about everything else but the basics, the technical skills, just the rudimentary training to make an audio drama. It's not that hard. We just need to organize it.
Agreed.
Now, I came to that because I've been teaching classes at, so there's a place here, it's a film arts center called the Squeaky Wheel, and they do film classes for members. They're a nonprofit organization. And they brought me
on. Oh, nice.
Yeah, they brought me on to teach sound design for film, and they just have a lot of interest in podcasting because podcasting's been on the rise.
So, sure.
Yeah, they brought me on to teach, you know, how to podcast, you know, and it's really had me in the mindset to just start boiling down. Well, what at the very least, especially since like I've got to do this in four classes, you know, that's like four episodes, mm-hmm. Maybe eight if you expand the episodes out to 2 hours because these are 2 hour classes. So I was also talking to Matthew McLean recently, and we were talking about how to, you know, kind of re-script ADPP into like, how do we break it down so like each season is a block of information? So like each season is a class, you know,
Right. Yeah, I'm totally down with
that. So where it's about one thing, one particular thing about audio drama, whether that's a block on writing, where we talk to a bunch of different writers, a block on sound design, where we talk to a bunch of different sound designers, a block on dialogue editing, what the difference between a dialogue editor and a sound designer are, and a mixer and all that stuff. Really just kind of break down the fundamentals of both podcasting and audio drama, because in order to do an audio drama, you got to know how to podcast. So if we can even start with those basics, like how do you get sound into the computer? How do you edit it? How do you get it up for listening? And I think if we move in that sort of direction, I don't want to step too much on the toes of the podcast host, whom I'm also working with, and you know, Matt, who also works with.
Right.
So for the most part, as far as learning the podcast, I'd really direct people over there. But there's certain basic fundamentals that we can get into without jumping on Matthew and Colin's toes too much.
Sure. Well, then wouldn't it make more sense to not so much focus on podcasting itself? We can just direct people to the podcast host, and we can just focus on creating audio drama.
Yeah, absolutely. What I would do for that is, like, when the podcast host comes out with pertinent articles, mm-hmm. is I would link to them on the web page. And that's the other thing I need to look at, is we kind of need to make the podcast like a small piece of the training,
mm-hmm.
because some of the stuff, like working in Reaper and stuff like that, you kind of need to see what we're doing visually.
Right.
I can describe to you how to do something in Reaper, and 60 to 80% of people might get it.
Sure.
But you're leaving that 20% out that, you know, and it just really helps solidify it if you can see what the person's doing, if you can put the person hands on, you know, as a technical writer. That was like my biggest focus, was like just putting people hands on so they can like visually see the information, or as close to hands-on as possible.
Sure, it's absolutely easier to intake and retain information that way.
Yeah. So you got the written word going, you got the spoken word going through the podcast and through the videos, and then we've got visual representation. You know, we've even got slides and stuff like that, so you can just really focus in on the information and see, you know, so we can put your hands on it. So if you're following along, you're there. So that's my battle on that subject.
let me ask you this. I know that you've been doing the rendered videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I did those for a little while. I kind of stopped because Oral Stage Studios fell under the bus, and rendered was part of that. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead and ask your question. I interrupted you.
I was just going to say, how would you feel about doing those strictly for Patreon subscribers?
That's kind of the idea. I don't know if I'll do it strictly for Patreon subscribers, but okay. we might do it ad supported, so that we're bringing in some revenue. Because one thing I've been noticing lately is our YouTube channel, the Audio Drama Network YouTube channel, has been pulling in more subscribers, and yeah, they've been subscribing to like rendered. And some of them have been subscribing to the Spreaker podcasts that get dropped there.
Oh, nice.
So they're listening to stuff through there. I just need to reorganize it under ADPP. And the only thing I haven't really been sure about is, you know, whether to keep it the Audio Drama Network or to, you know, expand it into more of a podcast network, which has a slightly larger reach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, niche is also good. Niche is always good. And just got to find, just got to be able to sit down and tune into our audience, because you and I have been like slamming all summer long. I haven't been able to look at, you know, where the information is going, who is listening, you know, any of that data. And
right. That's
all helpful in figuring out what we're doing. But I just got to sit down with the info.
So where do we start? What's our first goal? Hmm.
Well, I can start by showing you a trick.
Okay.
Want to learn a trick in Reaper?
Yeah.
So let's set up a scenario. Have you ever been, you know, doing a vocal recording? So you've got a vocal booth, right? And you keep your computer outside of the vocal booth?
Yeah.
Is that how you're set up?
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to access Reaper from inside the vocal booth without having to go out and hit record out there?
Well, yes.
Okay. Well, let's do that. I'm going to see if I can talk you through. Ordinarily, this would be a visual thing, but I think I can talk you through this one. So we don't need anything open. We don't need any sessions open or anything for this. So we're going to go to Options, Preferences.
Okay, I'm on Preferences.
Okay. And if you scroll down almost all the way to the bottom, there's one called Control-OSC/Web. Click on that.
Okay.
Click on Add. You should have a blank screen that says Control Surface Mode at the top. Hit the drop down next to Control Surface Mode.
Okay.
Click down to Web Browser Interface.
Got it.
So now you have an entire setup where it says Run Web Server on Port. You can leave that pretty much at the defaults. The default interface can be at index.html. Almost everything here can be kept at defaults, and just click OK. And you should have a new control surface added to your called web browser interface.
Okay, I got that.
Okay. Next to where it says web browser interface, after the colon there, it should have an HTTP and an IP address followed by 8080.
Okay.
So if you grab that, do you have your phone with you?
I do.
And is it on the same network?
Yes.
Is it on your Wi-Fi, basically, is what I'm asking. Okay.
Yes.
So go ahead and open a browser on your phone and type that complete HTTP address into your browser on your phone. And you now should have access to controlling Reaper through a pretty simple interface.
Holy shit.
So now you can just take your phone into the, or a laptop into the voice studio with you. And you can control levels. You can control. There's a lot of different settings you can play with here too. There's a lot of tutorials on the web about how to modify those specifically for you.
192.
Holy shit. Fucking kidding me.
So now if you go in there and hit the record, you'll have to set up a track and record edit it.
But, holy shit.
If you hit record, it should hit record on your system.
Oh my God.
Isn't that That's sweet?
Insane. That's insane.
Yeah. And there's like several different settings that you can set to like, you can play with different tracks. You can play with different. I've been really getting into automation lately, just because my sound design style has like been changing. Yeah, I don't know if you saw my post. So I posted through Uber Duo. So I've been doing sound design for the Once and Future Nerd for the last couple of seasons, and Christian from the Once and Future Nerd sent me. So the episode's about 28. It's right around 30 minutes long. It's a half hour episode. It's got 9 different settings, 37 scenes, 196 cues, 12 horses. And I'm trying to figure out how to manage all of this stuff. So I've started really playing around with control surfaces. I've got my R24 set up in here. I've got a Korg Nano control. I've got a Nano key for keyboard interface for like playing piano and stuff like that. I've got a Nano pad that I use for Nano pad is a drum pad kind of thing, and I use it for footsteps and all that stuff. I've been really automating the shit out of things, because like flipping between those scenes, that's flipping reverbs, that's flipping ambience, and you know, if I can get it all down to a press of a button, you know, where you can press one button and it turns on and off all the different cues that you want, then, you know, I can work faster without having to, you know, bog myself down with the technical stuff, and so I can focus on the creative.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I've been thinking about, I'm wondering how to go about creating a control surface to use within Reaper. Like, for instance, if I had a, you know, using a particular plugin, if I could bring up the screen of the plugin on a phone or a tablet while I'm running Reaper on my laptop.
Yeah, I can show you that real quick, like, too, if you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is all OS. It's in that same section under preferences, under control OSC web. OSC is what we're going to create. Basically, it's a external web surface. I don't know what the open sound control, that's what it is. Okay, so right in that same control surface thing, you click add. Under control surface mode, you go down to open sound control.
Okay.
You can set it to device IP port or so this one's a little trickier to set up, because what you need to do is then you would actually go, do you have Android or iPhone?
Yeah, Android.
Android. Yeah, so if you go into the apps, the Play apps, and look up OSC controls, there's a bunch of them out there. And so you would need to configure this to match whatever settings are on that, whichever software. But there's an OSC for, you can play the piano, like piano keys directly through your phone. There's an OSC for like a launch pad style thing, which has the grid style where you can press press a button, a grid button, and something plays. There's an OSC for volume control, panning, all that stuff. So you can kind of mix and match your OSC controls. And yeah, you would just copy the information, the IP information between the two, between the software that you download. So I've been using, I've just been using one called OSC Controller.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. And that's that's just a basic mixer. It's got, again, the drum pad style interface, the grid style interface, and it's got an XY interface that'll is great for digital panning. because you can pan things in front and in back of you as well as side to side.
Really?
Yes. And you can record all of that automation as you're playing it directly into Reaper.
What?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It makes me sick.
How much time could we have saved, Austin, knowing this before? How much time could we have saved?
Dude, I've said it all along. I bet you I know maybe 5% of what Reaper's capable of.
Yeah, I might, just because I've used it a little bit longer and I've just been really delved into it, I may know about 10%. I'm always finding new shit in Reaper, and it's one of the things that I love about Reaper is I'm finding new shit. I'm actually programming my own shit into Reaper now. I've learned to do some of the programming stuff. Yeah, there's some really great features. Next time we talk, I'll have to show you how I do my automation settings now, because I've got it set up so that you can kind of go in and listen to your mix, dial in where you want the levels to be, and then write those levels to the entire scene.
What?
Oh yeah, all in one button push. That's what I've been learning. That's what I've been on for like the last, so between working with, you know, a little bit with Wordtastic and with the Once and Future Nerd, just trying to really hone in my sound design workflow and make my studio match how my workflow is designed. So there you go. Well, that enough for an episode? What?
I would say.
Excellent.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.